Children's Show, starring Bob Hope.
Hello, Camp Cook, we're here to give you boys a cheer. The stage is set, and now you get Bob Hope, so lend an ear.
Ah, thank you.
So much, so much.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob. Oh, I've got to tell you. I've got to tell you. Everybody. Give me a... I can't. I've got to get a fresh start. I just...
Oh, Kenny, if you don't...
Start the beginning.
The Pepsodent Show, starring Bob Hope.
Thank you so much. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob broadcasting from Camp Cook Hope, telling all you soldiers to use Pepsodent, and the girls will always give you eyes right because you'll always have teeth left. You're going coast to coast, and I love you. Or, this is Bob Blues in the Night Hope, saying, my mama done told me that if you use Pepsodent, you won't have your clickety-clacks echoing back, fooey, fooey. It isn't bad either. Well, here I am at Camp Cook. I had a little trouble getting down here. To save rubber, I stopped to change my tires from one wheel to the other, but the cops thought I should have stuck to my own wheels. Camp Cook is located on the Censored Desert, just west of Censored... And right near Censored River. When I got here, you should have heard them yell my name, but that's censored too. This is really some desert here. You know what a desert is. Two gas stations separated by Burma Shave signs. W.C. Fields was once lost for 3 days in the middle of this desert. Poor W.C. almost went crazy. All he could find were water holes. But it's really very nice here at the camp. The parade grounds and the target range and the practice are all so smooth and level. The boys really love it. You never saw dice roll more evenly. I arrived at 6 in the morning just in time to sneak into the bugler's tent and put ketchup in his bugle. Between reveille and assembly, Camp Cook had to register as an Indian reservation. But you can say all you want to about buglers blowing reveille, and you usually do, don't you? Some of the fellas don't have a bit of trouble about getting out of bed at 6 a.m. They put on their clothes, wash, brush their teeth, shave, and then they open their eyes. I went into the washroom when I arrived this morning. I took a shower with the soldiers, and you should see the mob. The first time I ever scrubbed my chest with both hands while two hands scrubbed my back. I needed a shave, so I shaved with the soldiers. You know, it's pretty tough shaving in such a crowded room with such bad light, the doctor told me. He just sits my nose back on. And boy, are these soldiers tough. Some of them don't even use razors. One big guy from Texas just took out his pivot tooth and scraped. That is true. And do some of these soldiers have tough beards? One guy's beard was so tough, every time he managed to cut through a whisker, he stepped back and yelled, "Timber!" Timber! And all the soldiers here do their own washing, and you've never seen a sight like a couple of happy soldiers finished with a day's washing hanging up their second lieutenant to dry. Expected a bigger laugh than that, fellas. Well, they must like him. They like him. When those soldiers wash, this is my luck, when those soldiers wash clothes, they just bend down over the sink and reach out blindly for the next article. I got skinny in it just before the third rinsing. And are these soldiers healthy down here? They're all in the pink until the Saturday night crap game, then they're all in the red. The mailman here made a very serious mistake. He held up a copy of Esquire in front of 500 soldiers and yelled, "Come and get it." And before he got to get it, he got it. Then I went for a ride in one of the tanks. You know what a tank is? That's sort of an iron-covered Jeep with muscles. You should see all the gadgets inside that tank. I pressed one button, the tank went to the right. I pressed another button, the tank went to the left, and I pressed something else. They're rebuilding the officers' quarters now. Those tanks will go anywhere horses will go, except where the racetrack players keep telling Crosby's horses to go. The general told me to put one of those big cracks... I put on one of those crisp... The general done told me I'll be back. thank you so much. The general told me to put on one of those big crash helmets, and I just laughed out of the side of my mouth. Just then we hit a bump, and the next thing I knew, I didn't have any more side of my mouth. What did I fool around with that for? Took up 3 minutes to learn how to lay an egg. What was that? The fellow who was riding with me told me to get my mind off the bouncing of the tank, so I began singing Deep in the Heart of Texas, but it was no use. After a while, I had a callus somewhere near San Antonio. And those tanks are almost unstoppable. We went through fires, across rivers, over deserts, and through mountains. Then we got to Hollywood Boulevard and had to retreat. You know, one of those heavy tanks with a sergeant in it can stop anything there is except a private coming home from a date in a Jeep. I know. Last week when I was at Camp Roberts, I went out on a date with four soldiers. Three of them had six-hour passes, and the other one had the sentry by the throat. In fact, right on the pass, it said, "This pass only good for 6 hours, but for heaven's sakes, fellas, get back for the 4th of July." We called for the girls and took them dancing. We were kind of late getting to dance because we had to wait till my girl finished work. She works at the O'Carroll Theater. She stokes the furnace. And we took them to a nice little place. On one side, they had parking for civilian automobiles, and the other side, they had a landing field for jeeps. It was a ritzy joint. They had a doorman to raise the manhole cover for you. And you should see the girl they got from me. Boy, was she fat. She was so fat, you couldn't dance with her. When the music started, you just did sentry duty. To give you an idea how fat she was, well, they got up a big conga line, and she was both the front and rear ends of it. She had false teeth, Jimmy Durante's nose, a complexion like a stale oyster, and she wore a wig. But the other two girls, they were Uggs. And what big buck teeth my girl had. You should have seen the size of those teeth. When I asked her to dance, she nodded yes and cut off three of my toes. One soldier turned to me and said, "Well, at least your girl doesn't wear glasses." How could she? She didn't have ears. And one of the girls said, "You know, I've been crazy about soldiers for a long time, a long time. When Washington crossed the Delaware, the boat he used was made out of her wheelchair." But she had a very patriotic smile. She'd pasted in her teeth with defense stamps. Every Pepsodent and 50 Tusk toothbrush you buy contains a certificate. I'm rehearsing because any day now Keating may be drafted. Would you like to cut into this, old boy?
Yes,
cut in.
How are you, Ben?
Every Pepsodent 50 Tusk toothbrush you buy contains a certificate. A cash certificate that gives you an extra 10 cents to spend for... And you can use this certificate just like you would a dime. Just select any article costing 10 cents or more.
And you can use this certificate just like you would a dime.
What did you listen to? What you do? Forget to tell them to put pleats in your pants?
Your dealer will accept it and payment for a defense stamp, too. So go to your store tonight. Get a Pepsodent 50 Tough Toothpaste. Buy one for each member of your family, because every brush you buy gives you an extra 10 cents to spend for anything you want in the store.
What'd you say? What'd you say?
Again?
No, it's fine, Larry.
All right?
That's all right.
All right, fine. For anything you want in the store.
Hey, Ben. Stick around. Sing a song after a while, huh? Here's Francis Langford, the Six Hits and the Miss singing I Got It Bad, and it ain't good.
Never treat me sweet and gentle the way he should. I got it bad, and that ain't good. My poor heart is sentimental, not made of wood. I got it bad, and that ain't good. But when the weekend's over and Monday rolls around, I end up like I start out, just crying my heart out. He don't love me like I love him. Nobody could.
Oh, nobody could.
I got it bad, and that ain't good.
Never treat me sweet and gentle
the way,
oh, the way that he should. I got it bad, and that ain't good.
Monday rolls around, I end up like I start out, just crying my heart out. He don't love me like I love him. Nobody could.
Oh, baby,
I got it bad.
Francis Langford and the Six Hits and the Miss thing. I've got it bad, and that ain't good. Well, Francis, how do you like it here at Camp Cook?
Wonderful, Bob. And not out kidding about that name, Camp Cook, are they?
What do you mean?
Well, when that bunch of soldiers got hold of you, you just got out of that barbecue pit in time.
Why, Francis, they were only kidding. There wasn't any fire in that barbecue pit.
Well, I don't know, Bob. When you walked by, the general pointed to the seat of your pants and said to his men, "See, that's what I mean by the scorched earth policy." Does Skinny Ennis like it up here, Bob?
Yeah, he loves it down here. As soon as Skinny arrived, he took a deep breath of that hot desert air, and one of his lungs said to the other, "What's cooking besides us?"
I think Skinny would like to be a soldier.
Yeah, he applied here at the camp this morning.
Was he accepted or rejected?
Oh, neither one. The commanding officer looked at him with a puzzled expression for a minute. Then he sent him over to the quartermaster with a note pinned on him, said, "If this is a hot dog, boil it. If it's a salami, slice it. If it's anything else, it's boiled." Yet? They got Ben. You're about next.
Oh.
What does he mean? What does he mean? What does he mean? Will you send somebody over to explain that later?
By the way, Bob, I want to thank you for taking me to the Academy Award dinner the other night.
Yeah, that was some affair. You know, you really have to be important to get a table at the Academy Award dinner.
Yes, I know. I didn't mind sitting on the floor.
Well, tables were $50, and that's too much for any girl to spend on me. Say, did you notice... Did you notice, Francis, whenever there's a big affair like that, isn't it disgusting the way these Hollywood celebrities try to make a big entrance so everybody will notice them? They all made as much noise as they could coming in.
Yeah, but I'll have to hand it to you, Bob. You were the only one that thought of crashing through the wall in a Jeep.
You know, this year they couldn't make up their minds whether the dinner was to be formal or informal. They kept changing their minds. It almost drove me crazy.
Well, Bob, why were you so upset?
Well, it was terrible. I didn't know whether or not to starch my sweatshirt. But I had a wonderful time, Frances. Did you see the way every eye was on me when I walked into the room?
Yeah, Bob. You certainly made a hit in that neon leopard skin.
Yeah, that was my own idea, all the spots lighting up and spelling Pepsodent.
You know, Bob, at a dinner like that, you should really watch your etiquette.
Well, Frances, what was wrong with me mopping up the gravy with my bread?
Yeah, but going from table to table and doing it.
Yeah, the tips I found were hardly worth it. Just think. Francis, at that dinner, I sat right next to Wendell Willkie, and I said to him, gee, Wendell, I had my heart set on winning the top award, but I didn't get enough votes to make it.
And what did he say?
Shake hands, brother. You belong.
Bob, hasn't Mr. Willkie got a beautiful head of hair?
Yes, once during his speech, he ran his finger through it, and three Hoover buttons fell out. You know, Francis, the awards committee certainly had a tough job picking the best actor this year. There was Spencer Tracy.
Yeah, he's a great actor.
Robert Montgomery.
Yeah, he's a great actor.
Bob Hope. Francis, I said Bob Hope.
Hello? Okay. The union says I don't have to read this next line. But really, Bob, I can't understand why you didn't get an acting award. You're easily the finest actor in Hollywood.
Oh, Francis, do you have to keep saying that?
I certainly do until you stop twisting my arm. Bob, I thought you were a little corny at the dinner. You must never show that you're angry, even if you didn't get an award.
Well, gee, do you think anybody noticed that I was angry about it?
Yes, quite a few people looked around when you jumped up on the table and yelled, "Give me an Oscar, I'll heave this bomb."
Well, do you think I did wrong when I yelled, "I'm being gypped here tonight"?
You certainly did, Bob. They had their minds made up to give the award to Gary Cooper. Didn't do you a bit of good to get up on the stage, stop the proceedings, and start acting out your scenes from Louisiana Purchase.
But seriously, Francis, I almost did win an Oscar. In fact, they let me hold one for a few minutes.
No kidding.
Yeah, friend, I picked up an Oscar and held it for a few seconds, and the Oscar looked at me and said, "Buddy, I don't mind when I'm won by actors with great talent, but great Scott, this is ridiculous."
Well, don't worry, Bob. Maybe you haven't won an Oscar yet, but lots of people think you're the screen's best actor, the funniest comedian, and the handsomest leading man. See, Bob, I told you I could read that line without laughing in your face.
Thank you. And now, Francis and ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to introduce one of the outstanding and most beloved athletes of all time, Babe Ruth.
Thank you, Bob.
Yes, sir. What do they mean, shortages?
Well, Bob, what's cooking?
I don't know what's cooking, but whatever it is, you've certainly had your share of it. Well, hiya. Give me that asshole look. Well, hiya, babe.
Well, I'll bet that's the first time you ever said hiya, babe, to anyone wore pants.
It's nice to see you. Don't move. Just let me look at you.
Bob, why do you keep staring at
me?
Well,
I like that. It's nice to see a babe in California who isn't wearing slacks.
Bob, you know that Babe isn't my real name. My real name is George Herman Ruth, but everybody calls me Babe.
Well, my real name is Lester Towns Hope, but you know what everyone calls me.
Oh, yes, Bob. But you ought to stop them from that.
Well, Babe, how do you like broadcasting in front of all these thousands of soldiers?
Fine, Bob. It reminds me of a crowd we used to get when we played when I played at the Yankee Stadium.
Well, babe, now all these fellas are playing for the Yankees.
Oh, yeah? And they're going to do it to the Yankees as we did to the Cubs.
Well, gee, babe, you know, it's funny seeing you holding a script instead of a bat.
Well, Bob, I read the script, and I feel safer if I were holding a bat.
Oh, you're perfectly safe behind this machine gun.
Oh, I'm not nervous. This isn't so different from baseball.
It isn't?
Well, no, only a little. In baseball, after four bad ones, it is the batter that walks. In this program, it's the audience.
Babe, my audience never walks out on me. The ushers have machine guns, too. But, babe, I want to tell you it's an honor to meet a really great athlete.
Well, it's an honor to meet really a great comedian.
Well, you sound like you mean it.
Well, I should after all this rehearsal.
Anyway, babe, I want to welcome you to the Pepsodent Show.
Well, I'm glad to be here, Bob. I didn't even think you knew I was in town.
Oh, yes. Remember when you were jitterbugging the other night at the Palladium?
Yes.
Well, I was one of the guys helping hold up the walls. But I'm certainly glad you could appear. You know, I made a nice impression today showing up here with you.
Yeah. As we were walking along arm in arm, one chap pointed to us and says, "Gee, I never thought I'd see the king of SWAT wind up with a foul ball."
I wonder what made him think you were a foul ball. But let's talk about baseball. You know, I'm very interested in baseball.
Oh, that's strange.
What's so strange?
Oh, that a man should be interested in baseball and have a figure like a tennis racket.
Get a load of who's talking about my figure.
Are you inferring that I'm chumpy?
Not chumpy, chubby.
Well, it's the same difference.
No, it isn't. Not the next line. Chubby. Chubby, why, every time you get through talking, it takes over a minute for your second chin to come to a full stop. Well, I'm much thinner than you are, babe. I'm much thinner than you.
Okay, I refuse to argue with a man who pays a guy to write the script. You know, Bob, maybe I can give you some pointers on how to keep in shape.
You want to give me pointers? Look at that shape of yours.
Well, what's wrong with it?
Well, a soldier passed by before, pointed to your ankles and said, "Ain't that kind of a small landing gear for a flying fortress?" Don't give me that fawn look. Why, brother, if you were ever drafted, you'd have to enlist as a division.
Look here, Pogo Nose. You're not exactly streamlined.
Wait for that. Huh? Pogo?
Pogo. Look here, Pogo Nose. You're not exactly a streamline yourself. Look at that. Punch you got on you.
I'm punchy. Why, you won't walk down the street because you're afraid of being arrested for hoarding meat.
Why, I'm in good shape, Bob. Here. Feel this muscle in my arm.
Hard. Now feel my muscle.
Large.
Wait a minute. Feel the muscle in my other arm.
Okay.
Well, what does it feel like?
Tell me, does this come in with six delicious flavors? The difference between us, Bob, is that mine is solid muscle.
What do you think mine is, chopped liver? But looking at those big shoulders, babe, I can see why you're the king of the four baggers.
Thanks, Bob. And looking at those big eyes, I can see why you're the king of the two baggers.
Well, anyhow, they make a swell place to hide sugar.
You don't have any complaint, Bob. Just look at those wide shoulders. You must be strong.
You think so?
Sure, otherwise, how could you carry those, all that padding?
Well, this suit is the T-48 model. It has got quite a wing spread. But, babe, don't you think I have a good physique for baseball?
Perfect, boy. You could be trapped between first and second while your nose was stealing third.
Well, my profile does look a little like the Burma Road. Say, do you think I could be... You think I could be a good soldier, babe?
Sure, even with all those he-men. There's still a place in the service.
Where's that?
Where's that? Why, you could join the ambulance corps.
Babe, stop spacing your words and look at your script. That's corps.
You look in the mirror, it's corpse.
You may not think I'm very strong, babe, but I'll bet there's some forms of athletics in which I'm better than you.
Really? Did you ever hit a baseball 450 feet?
Well, no.
Did you ever pitch 14 inning games?
No.
Did you ever drive a golf ball 250-80 yards?
No. But what's your high score on a yo-yo? And you've got to admit, I didn't do so bad in that charity golf match we played this weekend up at Sacramento. You and I against Bing Crosby and Governor Olson. What do you think of the way I played golf?
Why, Bob, I think you're one of the finest golfers the game has ever produced.
Honest Injun?
Nope. Lying pale face.
You should talk. You play golf like it was baseball. You got up there in the first tee at Sacramento, slammed that golf ball across the lot, and started running for home.
Well, what would you do if you broke Governor Olson's window?
Same thing you did. Pay for it with a bad check.
Why, you didn't play a bad game, Bob. But you ought to try a new... You ought to try a new golf ball to replace that old one. Those pieces of elastic were coming out...
No, coming out of it. No. No, those pieces of elastic weren't for my ball. Crosby was wearing his old girdle that day.
Boy, that Crosby can really hit a ball, can't he? How come he hits them so hard?
Well, somebody told him they were stork's eggs.
When did you take up golf, Bob?
Oh, I've always liked it. Ever since the first time I saw anyone use a golf club. One fellow walked up and took a terrific swing with a club. Then another fellow came up and took a terrific swing with a club. One after another, they did it.
Mm-hmm. Where was that? Second hole golf tournament?
No, Pepsodent office, stockholders meeting. Say, babe. My line isn't yes, I know. Say, babe, you're out here making a picture, aren't you?
Yes, it's the pride of the Yankees. It's for Sam Goldwyn.
Well, what part do you play in the picture?
Well, I have a very difficult role. I play the part of Babe Ruth.
Well, you ought to do pretty well playing the part of yourself. After all, Ruth is stranger than fiction.
Now, look, Bob, I agree to laugh at everything you said, but this is ridiculous.
Say, babe, since you're here, is there anything you'd like to know about acting?
Why,
wait,
yes.
Just a second. Just a second.
All right, I'm finished with that. Why, yes, Bob. Do you know an actor?
Are you inferring that I'm not an actor? Why, babe, I've studied acting for years. And I've spent thousands of dollars on a dramatic course at the Yale School of the Drama. Did you see my performance in Louisiana Purchase?
Yeah.
Think I can get my money back?
Why not? I got mine.
Babe, I'll have you know that for the past 5 years, I've been at the Paramount Studios acting.
I know that, but in what capacity?
Acting before a camera.
With film in it?
Oh, well, if you want to get technical. But acting is very simple. It's like baseball. You just keep your eye on the ball.
Yeah, but I don't like this Hollywood pitching. I'm a sucker for a curve.
Meet another sucker.
Boy, I'm acting rough.
As you're acting rough, well, look, maybe I can give you a few tips. You know, I just finished a picture with Madeline Carroll.
Yeah, I know, Bob, but your acting is different. In my scene, I'm the guy that swings the bat. In your scene, it's Madeline Carroll.
Oh, did I show you those scars? Even though you're out here making a picture, I guess baseball is still your first love, isn't it, babe?
Well, yes, Bob. There's nothing like a thrill of a base, hitting a home run in the World Series game. What a feeling. Do you know what I mean?
No, make it easier for me to understand.
Well, let's see. I like the thrill... wait a minute, Bob. I like the thrill as an actor getting... It's like a thrill of an actor getting when he wins the Academy Award.
Make it easier for me to understand.
I'll try and do it.
Say, babe, you may not know this, but once I was sitting in the Yankee Stadium, you hit me right on the head with the ball.
I did?
Sure, don't you remember how I ran over and you autographed the lump? But it didn't hurt much. I've been beaned quite a few times.
You've been beaned? I never knew you played baseball.
I didn't, but I was in vaudeville for 7 years.
You know, I've been beaned occasionally.
Let's talk about something else, babe. These soldiers here have been beaned more than either of us.
So you've seen me play at the Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, and you gave me one of my biggest thrills. During the game, you pointed to a corner of the stadium and slammed a homer right there.
Oh, Bob, you gave me one of my biggest thrills. And you're doing the in vaudeville show at the Paramount Theater. And you pointed to the corner of the stage. You laid an egg right there. But I got a kick out of hitting a home run myself. I used to make a horse-eyed travel fast.
I'm glad you met Bing Crosby. He's the guy that slowed it down. Thank you, loser. Babe, you know, I used to play a little baseball when I was a kid.
When I was a kid, I used to be an umpire.
An umpire? What's that?
Well, you know, the guy that everybody yells, kill that bum, man.
Oh, an MP. Gee, I'll never forget my... I'll never forget my first game. I'll never forget I covered first base, then I stooped to get a grounder, and I ripped my pants. For the rest of the game, first base covered me.
Did you like the game?
Yeah, and I always wanted to be a good batter, babe. Tell me, what was the secret of your great power at the plate?
Wheaties.
Wheaties?
Yeah, before every game, I used to fill a heaping bowl full of Wheaties and then break it right over the pitcher's head. And I did it all right, too. When I got at the bat, the outfielders used to back up about 20 feet.
That's nothing. When I stepped up to the plate, all the outfielders would back up about 40 feet.
Honest?
Yeah, then they used to sit down in the shade and say, let's get out of the car. What the hell is that? I can understand it now. I stepped up to the plate, all the outfielders would back up about 40 feet.
Honest?
Yeah. Then they used to sit down in the shade and say, let's get out the car. Sister Hope is up again.
You know, Bob, I didn't start out in baseball as a home run hitter. I used to be a pitcher. The only trouble was, when I was a little wild at first, I gave out so many bases that the other team wanted me to pitch.
Yeah, I heard about that. They came to the plate singing, I don't want to walk without you, babe. You know, babe, we had a Dizzy Dean on this program about a year ago. He's a ball player, too.
When was he with the Yankees?
Oh, he was never on the Yankees.
Then what do you mean, a ball player?
Well, there are a lot of ball players that aren't on the Yankees. Take Hank Greenberg.
Oh, he's on the Yankees now. He's trotting a rifle. And let me tell you, Bob, he's an asset to the Army.
Yeah, maybe you're right, baby. They tell me that last week, when the submarine was firing on those oil wells, Hank Greenberg was on shore batting the shells back. But, babe, I want to thank you very much for coming down here and appearing with us tonight.
I've enjoyed it, Bob. But what I mean, I want to ask you, do you think of those soldiers here would rather have had a glamour girl in this program instead of me?
Oh, of course not, babe. These soldiers don't care anything about girls. Why, these fellows wouldn't be interested if Madeline Carroll and Lana Turner walked in right now and sat in their lap.
What was that?
2,000 men drooling. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Here's Benny Hutton singing Mr. Lamb Band.
better.
Did you ever hear the story of the Dixieland Band? Let me tell you, brother, that the music was grand. They had a piano and a clarinet. Only thing they needed was a second morning. And that's what led to the ruin of the Dixieland Band. When the folks would holler for the Maple Leaf rang, the hay would get to swinging, but the trumpet would drain. They had to keep him because he played so sweet, but they needed someone who could give him the beat. Someone who swung with the rhythm of the Dixieland Band.
They needed that band, the trumpet would drag all the trouble they had for other fight of the beat. Pardon me, boy, they found a choo-choo in the rhythm of the Dixieland Band.
He played so sweetly. Instead of playing
Dixie,
he played so sweetly. They'd be saying
lightly.
Now they're up in heaven and the happiest land, cause they found a trumpet man who really can play. The way he swings him is an awful shame. He can really do it. Gabriel is his name. And now, folks, here is a sample. Listen to the Dixieland Band. If you hear a trumpet start to play, don't you be afraid, it's a judgment day, cause it's just Mr. Gabriel sounding his day. And the Dixieland Band.
What is the best in the land?
Hutton and Six Hits and a Miss singing Dixieland Band. That is really
I want to tell you how every one of you can have more money to spend without having to do a minute's work to get it. Ladies and gentlemen, Bob Hope has just concluded his broadcast from Camp Cook. And as we look in now on our happy little character, he has agreed to comply with the thousands of requests from the soldiers in his audience to leave for Hollywood at once, so they can have the joint delouse. He starts to leave, and as he reaches the camp's exit, our hero, fun-loving Bob, decides to play a joke on the sentry on guard and pretends he's an enemy.
Halt! Who goes there? Friend or foe?
Me very Sally. Me no telling who me am. Me make a big jokey.
Jokey, very smelly.
And now all the members of the cast are ready to leave Camp Cook for the railroad station. They decide to drive down in the general's car, and Babe Ruth gets in first. They decide to drive down in the captain's car. Babe Ruth gets in first.
Well, get a tank.
With the cars ruined, three of the soldiers very generously offer to fly Bob Hope back to Los Angeles in an airplane. And the rest of the soldiers cheer wildly, because they know that those three have never been in a plane before. But instead, Bob gets a ride to the railroad station in a Jeep.
Gosh, soldier, this is certainly a rough road. Oh, we're supposed to drive these things on the road? Well, anyway, here's the railroad station. Thanks, soldier.
You're welcome, sir. I guess the ride in the Jeep was a trifle rougher than usual, sir. Look, here's your watch over here in the front seat.
Good. Now let's back up a few miles and see if we can find my teeth.
And now as our sketch opens, we find the entire cast of the Pepsodent Show waiting to board the Hollywood-bound train. They're in the station sitting in a little restaurant where they've just had a bite to eat. Let's look in on Bob now. It's easy to recognize him. He's the only one at the table who's sitting with his back to the check. Here they are.
Well, gang, here we are leaving Camp Cook. You see, Skin, that general was going to have me escorted right to the train?
Yeah, he was at first, but then you gave your word of honor that you'd be on it.
Is everybody here?
Sure, we're all here, Bob. But what are we doing at this railroad station? I thought we were going back the same way we came.
Well, we couldn't, Betty. The pedal came off.
Darn it, and you look so cute sitting in that basket.
Well, we certainly had a good time at Camp Cook, didn't we?
Oh, Bob, I had a lot of fun on that trip. I looked over the camp, and I even crawled into one of those pup tents.
You crawled into a pup tent? What happened?
Well, it pupped and went pop.
See, what did it look like when you crawled out of it? What did it look like when you crawled out
of it? Well, did you ever see a khaki doodle? Or...
Let's try it again. See, what did it look like when you crawled out of it?
Well, did you ever see a khaki doodle?
That's better. Yeah. See, the soldier sure idolized you, babe.
Who, me?
I mean Babe Ruth. Gosh, you're sure the hero.
Thanks. But I felt a little embarrassed. And the way some of those soldiers kept staring at my tummy?
Well, I don't blame you. In fact, I saw one soldier point to your tummy and say, if the army travels on its stomach, this guy can give transportation to a whole regiment.
Yeah, Bob's right. You sure got a queer figure.
Yeah, get a load of that casualty carcass, will you? I'd rather have a surplus and look like that I'd been ranching. Oh, I missed. You know, I like to have you around when I play baseball.
You would?
Yeah, you'd make a wonderful bat for me.
Hey, wait a minute now. You can't talk to me like that. Take off your coat and I'll bash you to bits. Take a sock at me. Go ahead. Just take one punch at me and I'll pound on that fat stomach until... Hey, Bob, if I keep reading this script, I'm going to wind up as low man in the burial detail.
What are you now?
Hey, Bob, look. Here comes the soldiers from Camp Cook. I guess they're coming down to the train to give you a send-off. What an honor. Look, they're marching right toward us.
Yeah, but with six bayonets.
Hey, Bob, it messed. I told you to wipe that egg off your face. They think you're a Jap.
Oh, nonsense. They're coming down here to give us a nice send-off. Look, here comes the military van. Well, what do you know? Guy Lombardo must have been drafted. Again, look. The soldiers are getting ready to fire a salute.
Yeah, but Bob, ain't you supposed to point those guns up in the air?
Look, Bob, here comes the general.
Bob Hope, on behalf of the units of the United States Army stationed at Camp Cook, it is my privilege to present you with this medal. Turn around.
Turn around?
Yes, that's it. And now, allow me to pin the medal on you.
Ow! Well, at least it'll hold my pants on.
We've got to leave for camp now. So long, everybody.
Bye. Bye, General. Hey, Bob, wait a minute. Don't you want to thank the general and the soldiers for the reception?
Hmm?
What?
Hmm?
Loosen the rope, fellas. He wants to say something.
Thanks, soldiers. I'll remember what you tried to do for me every time I look at a yo-yo. So long. Our train will be along any minute.
Gee, I hate to leave. I had a wonderful time. I met a swell soldier here, and he's doing nicely.
What do you mean he's doing nicely?
Well, he's got $21 a month and his own dice.
Say, that reminds me. The one thing I shouldn't have done back at that camp was get into that crap game. I never had such bad luck in my life. Finally, I said, I'm sorry, fellas. I can't pay off. The only thing I get left is the gold in my teeth.
What happened, Bob?
Just my luck. There was a dentist in the crowd. Does it show?
Well, Bob, all I can say is you better keep your mouth closed when you're around your sponsor.
But, gee, it made me proud to see all those soldiers. Oh, please don't drop those eggs on my shoulder. But it made me proud to see all those soldiers. It makes me fill my chest with pride.
It made me want to cheer with every breath in my body.
It made me proud to be a man.
It made my blood run faster.
It made me glad I'm alive.
Where's an alien go to register?
Say, where's Professor Colonna?
Oh, Colonna's a little embarrassed. He's ashamed to show his face since the Army gave his mustache a Camp Cook haircut.
Hey, Bob, just what does a real Army haircut look like?
Oh, that's where your hair is very, very short in the front and A-W-O-L in the back.
Oh, you mean a Jack Benny Bob. Hey, Bob, look over there. There's a Jeep coming off the railroad crossing. The train's coming. They're going to hit. Gee, the train's all wrecked. I wish that Jeep would quit punching it. Say, you know, Bob, I had a little trouble at camp. I went over to the hospital, and feeling patriotic, I offered him some of my blood.
What happened?
Well, the doctor stuck the tube into his arm. Then after 3 hours, he looked at Skin and said, look, bud, I don't mind waiting, but great Scott, this is ridiculous.
Gee, I'm mad at these soldiers down here, Bob.
Skin, what makes you so mad at the soldiers?
Well, at the dance last night, one of them came up to me and gave me his fraternity pin.
Well, why didn't you say something, Skin?
He kept me waltzing. I didn't have a chance.
Say, I wish that train would come. I'm getting tired of waiting. Besides, I'm hungry.
Hey, look, Bob. Here's a peanut machine.
Oh, those aren't peanuts in there, Skin. It says in the machine, a rare delicacy that all soldiers love. I'll break the glass. We'll have something to eat on the train. What do you know? Beans. Okay, everybody, get ready. Look, here comes our train.
All aboard, all aboard. Greyhound bus now leaving for Hollywood.
Kelowna, Greyhound bus. If that's a Greyhound bus, why do you have to drive it on the railroad tracks?
No tires.
Say, are you the engineer of this train?
That's right. I am Professor Casey Kelowna, engineer, conductor, upright railroad man, guardian of transportation, and strict observer of interstate law. Crap game now going on in baggage car.
Well, are you ready to leave?
Yes. All aboard, all aboard. This train now leaving for Los Angeles, Pasadena, Las Vegas, and Albuquerque.
Professor, you mean Albuquerque.
Jerky.
Kirky.
Jerky.
Kirky.
All right, jerky. It's Kirky.
Kelowna, mind your manners.
No, don't. You mind them. Don't worry. They're housebroken.
Professor Kelowna, I demand to know what makes you act this way.
Well, once I was talking to a soldier, and I was hit over the head by a PM.
No, Kelowna, you mean an MP.
PM.
MP.
PM.
MP.
You have anywhere to go?
No.
PM.
MP.
PM.
MP.
No. MP, PM, what difference does it make? The boys call them PU anyway.
I don't think we get out of camp after this. You know, Kelowna, you're plum crazy.
Ah, yes, and I'm a little bit wild about bananas, too.
Joke. Never mind. Just get us back to Hollywood safely. We're all going to get on the train. Come on now, everybody.
Okay, I'll climb back on the engine. Hey, get off of me.
Kelowna. That's Babe Ruth. He's not a railroad train.
Oh, no? Get a load of that caboose.
What has that guy got on his upper lip? A victory garden?
No, Babe. That used to be a used tire lot, and the weeds have grown in.
Well, come on now, all aboard, all aboard. Passengers with Pullman tickets in the rear, passengers with coach tickets in the center, and for an extra buck and a half, guys on AWOL can ride up front with me.
Gee, I better get the tickets.
Yes?
I better get the... You know, Skinny, the railroad doesn't charge for a baby in arms.
Well, don't look at me. This time somebody else wears the dotty.
Well, how about buying tickets, folks?
Well, I want a ticket to Los Angeles.
I want a ticket to Los Angeles, too. And give me a ticket to Los Angeles.
Okay, here's a ticket for you to Los Angeles, a ticket for you to San Francisco, and a ticket for you to St. Louis.
Kelowna, wait a minute. They all want to go to Los Angeles. What's the big idea?
I'd like to keep my stacks even.
Beautiful joke. Well, tell me, how much do the tickets cost?
Well, it's half price for everyone under five.
Well, Skinny Ennis is under five.
Listen, Hope, I don't mean pounds. I mean years.
Okay, give me the tickets. Now I've got to see about our luggage. Hey, Porter, put these bags on the train for us.
Yeah, sir. What compartment?
I'm Bob Hope.
Yeah, sir. What brake rod?
All right, everybody, it's time to get on the train. Where's Babe Ruth?
Hey, he's over here in the phone booth, Bob.
Babe Ruth is in the phone booth?
Yeah, come quick, Bob, and bring his shoehorn.
Bob, here's the red cap that carried all our bags on the train.
Yeah, sir, yeah, sir.
Well, that's fine. Stick out your hand, son. There you are.
Gee, Bob, you ought to pay him something. I'd just autograph his wrist.
You're right, Betty. Here, boy, here's a half for you.
Gee, thank you. Now, if I can find the other half, I'll have a whole box top to send in.
Board, everybody. Everybody up the gangplank. Everybody up the gangplank.
But, Kelowna, this is a train. Why should a train have a gangplank?
It's your first trip to California, bud? Everybody on board. All right, Hope. Watch out for the first step.
Okay.
Got to tell you about the second step. Well, here we go.
All right, come on. I'll tell you where you sleep, folks. Francis, lower five. Betty, lower six. Babe, Ruth, upper eight. And Ennis?
Yeah, Bob?
I've arranged for the railroad. You have a beauty rest Dixie cup.
Hey, nothing doing, Bob. I ain't going to sleep in no Dixie cup.
Why not, Skin?
Man, the last time I slept in a Dixie cup, somebody used it, and for 2 hours, I treaded Coca-Cola.
Well, to show you how I feel about you, Skin, you get into that upper berth with Babe Ruth.
Oh, I ain't going to sleep with Babe Ruth. He snores.
So what?
Man, when I was sleeping with him last night, he took a deep breath and pinned me against the ceiling. Say, Bob, I want to get to bed. How do you work these upper berths?
Oh, very easy. You just pull down the compartment this way. Gee, what a place to hide three top sergeants.
Well, how am I going to get into that upper berth?
Oh, simple, Babe. I'll give you a lift. Just hop on my back.
Okay.
Think anybody believes this?
Stop fooling, Skin, and get in the berth.
Okay, I'm in the berth. Gee, I like it here in upper. Climb in, Babe.
Okay, here I come.
Lower ain't bad either.
No wonder your upper berth caved in. You didn't fix it right there. Now it'll stay up. You two hop into it.
Okay, Bob. We're in it now.
Say, you two comfortable up there?
No, there's no room for me. Babe Ruth fills up the entire berth.
Well, why don't you sleep in that little hammock there?
That's why he keeps his stomach. Well, there won't be any room for me at all with his big tummy. Oh, I know what I'll do. I'll hit it and push it over on the right side. Well, I'll hit his tummy and push it over on the left side. Well, I'll hit his tummy and flatten it down the center. Well built, old place.
Play that very good. Say, Skin, what a train. I wonder where we are.
Well, we're getting near Hollywood, Bob. What beautiful scenery. Look at that sunset.
Oh, that isn't sunset, Skinny. Crosby's hanging out his shirt to dry.
Gee, that's the beautiful shirt Bing has there. Look at it. Fluorescent lighting.
Sandy, chewing gum, cigarettes. Sandy, chewing gum, cigarettes.
Colonel, you're supposed to be the engineer. Why aren't you up in the engine?
Too hot up there. Somebody started a fire.
You fool. That's what makes the train go. That's the fire to heat the boiler.
It is?
Yes.
Yeah, I better take those marshmallows out.
Come on. Why aren't you in your engine at the throttle?
Can you keep a secret?
Yes.
I can't stand the noise.
Look, Colonna, will you please hurry this car up? It's going too slow.
Well, I think it's going fast enough, considering it has no wheels.
Colonna, if the train has no wheels, what's it rolling on?
Underneath, large Wilkie buttons. Now, please let me get back to my work. This is no time to shilly-shilly.
Colonna, you don't mean shilly-shilly. You mean shilly-shally.
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 Maybe shally to you, but it sounds awful shilly to me.
Kelowna, have you got bats in your belfry?
Yes, but don't worry. Tonight, we set traps. Now, stop annoying me or my boss will come and he'll have your head for this.
What? You mean he'll have my hide?
Head.
Hide.
Head.
Hide.
Listen, brother, if I had your head, I'd hide too.
Oh, Kelowna, why must you always argue with me?
I can't help arguing with you. You're an unky's munkle.
Colonna, you mean I'm a monkey's uncle.
Good. Want to try for the $4 question?
Say, listen, Colonna, let's stop kidding around. There's no blankets in my berth. Don't you furnish blankets in this train?
No, Hope. You don't need blankets. At midnight, the porter comes through and fluffs up the hair on your chest.
How are you two getting along in that upper berth?
Okay, except the bambino's snoring is giving me trouble again.
Man, every time he inhales, I come in on a beam.
It's kind of crowded, two of us sleeping in this berth. I'd like to turn over on my left side.
Go ahead. Roll over if you want. Need I say unroll? Hey, careful, babe. Don't get on my hot water bottle.
Don't tell me you sleep with a hot water bottle.
With it? Man, I sleep in it. Hey, gosh, look at all that desert out there. Hey, Bob, would you run film a hot water bottle?
Why, sure, Skin. Be glad to. Here you are, Skin. Where do you want it?
Just squirt it out the window. I hate to see them little cactus plants dying of thirst.
Oh, Kelowna, where are you?
Coming, Master. Coming.
Kelowna, are you running the whole train by yourself?
No, I've got a beaver helping me. He throws the coals on the fire. Come on, beaver. Heave.
By the way, Kelowna, what are you throwing in the engine?
Copies of Esquire.
Kelowna, how can you get any steam up with copies of Esquire?
Well, want to take it back?
Kelowna, we must be going 100 miles an hour. How do you get this train to go so fast?
In front, electric rabbit.
Professor, what makes you act this way?
Well, Hope, I never told this to anyone before, but you see, 20 years ago, I was killed in an automobile accident.
Professor, you were killed in an automobile accident 20 years ago? Then what are you doing here now?
Well, a guy can hang around till he collects his insurance, can't he?
Sloan, I don't think you know anything about trains. I don't think you're really an engineer.
Don't be silly, Hope. I'm an excellent engineer. Why, I've been steering things ever since the day before I was born.
You've been steering things since the day before you were born? How is that possible?
Stark had handlebars.
Yeah, and he left them on your lip.
Now, Hope, relax. It'll take quite a while for the train to go through this tunnel.
Well, why are we going through the tunnel so slowly?
The gopher can't dig any faster.
Kelowna, if a gopher digs a tunnel for the train, then because the gopher is so small and the train is so big, the train will be too large for the tunnel.
Very sensible deduction. Look, we're coming to the tunnel. I'll make the train fit through it. Of course, we'll have to put the top down.
Kelowna, you can't put the top down on the train.
Any bets?
Well, I hope the brakes on this train are good.
Brakes on this train, good. Watch. Sometimes it plays Roseau Day.
Professor, stop all this nonsense and get us to Hollywood.
Okay, Hope, but before we go any further, I'd like you to meet some of my friends here. They're engineers, too. Joe here used to work on a slow freight. Say hello to Mr. Hope, Joe.
To work out ways in which radio could most effectively.
And Max here used to be, are you through, Joe? Well, Max here used to be engineered on the Super Chief. Say hello to Mr. Hope, Max.
I love that southern drawl.
Hey, fellas, something tells me we're lost. Remember that song, The Last Time I Saw Paris?
Yeah.
Well, here we are again.
Kelowna, look, there's a train coming right at us. Quick, switch the train off on the side.
No, sir, I'm going to steer this train straight ahead. I've got the right of way.
But, Kelowna, that train is coming right at us.
Listen, Hope, when I say something, I stick to it. I'm a one-track person. Now I cover two tracks. Here we go again.
Look, Kelowna, there's Hollywood straight ahead. Slow down. We're coming into Hollywood. You're going too fast.
Nonsense, Hope.
Slow down, Kelowna. Slow down. Kelowna, what did you hit?
I hope you know the Brown Derby.
Yes, I know the Brown Derby.
Well, look at it now. It's bareheaded.
For the memories, you fellows of Camp Cook, all wear that victory look, as you're the Yanks with guns and tanks who give the Japs the hook. We thank you so much, and thanks for the memories, and should the future years bring blood and sweat and tears. It's men like you who see it through and win the nation's cheers. And thank you so much. Folks, production must climb a steep stairway. Bonds buy tanks, guns, and planes for our airways. Help the boys fight our battle in their way. Keep pitching in. Begin to win. This year, more than ever before, the Salvation Army must rely upon every possible friend and supporter. It is our sincere hope that each and every one of you find it possible to aid this great organization and support its work in your own community. On behalf of the entire cast, I want to say thanks to Captain Reams and all the other officers and men who've helped to make our broadcast. Next week, we'll broadcast from the Marine Base, San Diego, California. And with us as a special guest will be His Honor, the Mayor of Van Nuys, Andy Devine, and of course, all the regular gang. Good night, everybody. Okay, Larry.
Good night, Bob. Don't forget, friends, there's a cash certificate worth 10 cents with every Pepsodent 50 Tough toothbrush you buy. Our broadcast tonight comes from Camp Cook, for the entertainment of the Army personnel, and does not constitute a commercial endorsement of our products by the War Department. The program originated from Camp Cook, California. This is the National Broadcasting Company.